everywhere at the station, from the interim station manager, Utrecht Lee. There's one right here that is signed by her. It says, please be advised, the following individuals, Valerie Venisler, Bernard White, Sharan Harper, are no longer staff at BAI, no longer authorized to enter the BAI premises. Any permitting or facilitating their entry into the premises will be subjected to disciplinary action. We do hope that that will turn around. We're very, very hopeful that WBAI, you know, has acted within the Pacifica network. Each station has a certain amount of autonomy, and Bessie Wash reiterated that the general manager here is in charge of the hiring and firing at this point, and that if she wants to rehire Bernard White and Utrecht Lee, that she can do that. And if she wants to rehire Bernard White and Sharan Harper, that it is in her purview to do that. Yeah. And since we are a listener-supported station, you all make the difference in those kinds of decisions.
Okay, I'd like to just say one thing to Mark, no?
Yes.
Mark, when I heard that Bernard was fired, it was very painful, mm-hmm. you know?
It was painful for all of us,
yeah,
by the way.
But let me just say this, that in the process of listening, you know, following through from day to day, mm-hmm. and seeing that someone else was taking his place, and considering the history behind the racism of this country, even though Utrecht is black, mm-hmm. you see, when we as people with more melanin have constantly been pushed aside, and what we have created or helped create is taken away from us again and again. And so when I hear you there, I feel the pain of it, the historical pain, as well as the present issues that are putting you there. And it's very difficult to simply ignore the possibility that part of the reason why you were asked, you and the previous person who was there, who has also a show, who are also white males, you know, it's like a very vicious and vindictive way of saying, you are nothing. I can take this from you at any point.
Pardon me for just a minute, because I just have to do station business quickly, because we got to be legal here. Mm-hmm. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. It is 1 minute after 8 a.m.
Do you understand
exactly what you're saying, and I'm not unsensitive to it, but by the same standpoint, I would turn the question back to you.
Please
again, bear in mind that I'm an interim person here.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sitting here for 3 days, but my question to you is, does that mean that any Caucasian who sits in this seat is a reflection of that?
No, darling.
Well, you understand my question.
No, understand what I'm saying. You see, he was fired without cause.
Just so you understand, that's a criticism of mine here, that I think that things would be a lot clearer if you're going to fire someone,
right?
Then say why you're firing them. Now, maybe there's a legal reason why they're not saying it, but the point is, to me, that casts a pall over all of this, because it makes people suspicious. Look at the history here. You look at the history here, and you look at what's happened, and of course, people are going to be suspect. That's you're absolutely right. That's an issue. But again, we don't know, because nobody's saying.
Okay.
So we're left to wonder.
And the thing is, but all sorts of other things are being suggested, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you see, it's in fact, it seems to me that it's almost worse not to say it, because, you know, you lead people to think all sorts of things, or to assume that there is no reason.
Right.
And beyond the fact that there is no reason, it's as though there were some sort of a competition that has happened between those two individuals from who knows where and when, and the winner has done the worst possible to the loser.
Errol, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, you know, to the caller, it's a significant question that you ask, and I don't intend to spend much time prognosticating on this microphone. But it's an interesting point, and going back to that historical point that you raise, mm-hmm. I am going to, for a change, toot my horn. This program that is called Wake Up Call mm-hmm. is a name that originates with me.
I know.
I am the senior producer on Wake Up Call.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard White was the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Goodman was a co-host on that program. Mm-hmm. Janice K. Bryant did a lot of line producing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sharan Harper was the executive producer of Wake Up Call.
Mm-hmm.
There is a history of Wake Up Call that goes back to the point where I engineer the show in the absence of Bernard. I have returned to work. Folks know that I am here at work.
Absolutely.
Even before this crisis went down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I am going to venture my opinion
mm-hmm.
To your question
yes.
as to why we were passed over
uh-huh.
and our show was gutted. And when Amy walked in here, the person who was sitting behind the board didn't know that she was coming or didn't know my role here mm-hmm. or didn't know that there was a temporary person sitting in my position
mm-hmm.
and I am a union steward in this place.
And he was honest, the person who first came in, he
yes.
said he didn't listen to Wake Up Call, so he had no idea who was
right.
doing
yeah.
Wake Up Call.
And you know what, I have to fess to the same thing. I mean, I know because I've heard the stories, and I've tuned in, you know, 3 or 4 times, but I was not a regular listener to the broadcast.
So I am
Arrow,
gonna,
yes, please, yeah.
So I am going to answer your question
yeah.
this way,
uh-huh.
okay? It is either a profound amount of ignorance on the people's mm-hmm. part who are now running the station,
mm-hmm.
whether they are local or national,
right?
Or it's is a tremendous amount of disrespect
mm.
for the people who have sweated and worked and built the station and have worked to relate to a community and an issue, especially when you look across the spectrum of media
mm-hmm.
and to see how absent
right.
people of color or other voices are from that institution, or they have another agenda,
mm-hmm.
or it's a combination of all three.
Well, in defense of myself, I got to say that, you know, I help build the station too, you know, and I don't get paid for it. And I spend a minimum of 10 hours a week on a broadcast for you. So I'm not exactly chopped liver, and I don't mean to in any way, you know, lessen anybody's contributions here or to diminish them. But, you know, I'm not a scab. I'm somebody who contributes to the station, and just so it's stated, I contribute too. I work here too, and
I
hear you.
Hold on a second, Mark.
Wait, Nicole, just one second.
Because I'm gonna be quiet after this.
I
am not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You just said
before
that you're not getting paid
that's
to sit in that chair.
That's true.
That's a paid job, and
okay.
this is a union position, and
that.
This is a union shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So therefore, you tell me what you are,
Mark.
Normally that's somebody who gets paid, isn't it? I'm a volunteer here. Does this go for every volunteer who works at the station, Errol?
Huh?
Does it?
I'm not going to debate.
But
I'm not going to debate the contract.
He's giving you
with
the
you
answer.
On the air.
He's given you the answer. But you see, Mark, see, that's the issue, you see. Look at all the conflict. Now, mind you, we've all been very civil to each other, isn't it? But look
well,
at...
Well, to a point we have.
Well, not at this... You mean in this conversation, have
no,
I...
Yes, you have. No, you have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We've all been very civil to each other.
Yes.
But you see, the fact that you were asked, you know, and you acquiesced, you see, it stirred, you know, that pot... You know, that I was talking to you about,
mm-hmm.
about the effrontery that we've been facing, the abuse for all of these hundreds of years of constantly having things taken from us. Arrow is there. He's right. And yet he is not asked to do the very thing that he has the right to be, not asked to do, but expected to do, because...
Well, then let me ask an alternate question then. If Errol was sitting in my seat,
mm-hmm.
hosting this broadcast,
right.
and being paid for it,
mm-hmm.
could you not then say, hey, Errol, you know, you're being paid to sit in Bernard's seat. Is that any more right?
No.
I mean, if you're handing your paycheck back to your boss and saying, you know what, I'm not going to get paid for this because I don't agree with it, but I believe in the broadcast, so I'm going to be here. That's one thing. But, you know, in essence, you're being paid. I'm not even being paid. I'm here because I care about this place.
Well, let's look at the job.
And again, wait, just to go one step further. None of this is permanent right now. I'm sitting here for 3 days. We have yet to find out what the final determination is for what's going to happen here in the morning. Nobody knows that. So to criticize a temporary decision, which is a temporary decision, this is right now we're sort of in some sort of odd rotation in terms of people sitting here. There has not been a definitive decision, to the best of my knowledge, about what's happening in this time slot.
You know what it reminds me of, as odd as it may sound?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what happened with Eliane. Eliane had a father. And yet, he was not being allowed to go with his father, even though he had a father who had been involved in his upbringing and who lived with him and who cared for him. And the same with Errol. Errol cares for that place, you know. He cares for that program, as he said, and I've heard him say it before. He named it. It's his baby.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's interim, whether it's just 3 days,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's forever, he should have been the first one to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And after he had said no, then... it would have been about asking everyone else who participated in that show if they wanted to do this until the situation got settled, before anyone else was brought in, you see. But you were asked. Think of why you would have been asked. Why not ask Errol? Why not ask Amy? Why not ask Robert?
Let me answer your question. My point back to you, and I'll listen
for as long as
go ahead.
You like.
Go ahead.
You know something. I don't usually want to be up at this hour,
mm-hmm.
but the only reason why I love doing this was because I actually stay up because I paint and I write, and I would stay up beyond the hours that I would usually be up just so that I can listen to them, because they would bring me the latest and they would form, but also they brought a lot of merriment into my day. They brought a lot of insight, and they showed concern, you know, and the playfulness, you know, because of all of the interactions, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they let me participate in their lives, and as well as giving me information that I would not normally have gathered. And that's why I was listening, you know, and I have a feeling that other people as well. But anyway, you wanted to say.
Well, just that we're talking about a decision that wasn't made in this room.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about a decision that wasn't made in this room. And again, I will reiterate my feelings about this place. This place is an odd mix of people who volunteer and people who are paid.
Yes.
Okay, I am a volunteer. Mm-hmm. That means I give of my time because I care about the place.
Right.
Okay, on top of being a listener who gives well over 2 weeks worth of pay a year to this place in donations, mm-hmm. I donate anywhere between 8 and 10 hours a week to this place. And to cast aspersions on me because I'm a volunteer sitting in this seat.
But who has cast aspersions?
The person sitting across from me.
Hmm?
The person who's sitting across from me.
Has done that to you?
Yes, he has.
He has?
Yes, he has.
Who are you referring to? Errol?
Yes. Now listen, you know what? We've been on this for 12 minutes and I would like to go on to another call. Appreciate your listening and supporting this. Okay, listen, let's take another call.
All of you take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Boy, I have a suggestion as we are sitting here. You know, we are in the month of January, and it is Martin Luther King's birthday coming up. And Martin Luther King's birthday for close to two decades now has been marked by Bernard White. Even when he wasn't in New York, when he was in Virginia, he would take the train up with his boxes of records, recordings of King and music, and he would host a day special here, and it has become a real celebration, usually around the time of fundraising drive, and people come in from all over. Friends come in with their children who have the day off from work, and they sit in the studio, and we've watched those kids grow. You know, we've done a wake-up call for 8 years now, and it has been just incredible opportunity to be able to be here, to grow together, to be there with the listeners. And that would be a wonderful time, right? The time of Martin Luther King's birthday, a time of reconciliation, a time of militancy, a time of reaffirming what we believe in. For Bernard to be back, of course, I hope he would be back before that, but it's only about a week away. For the return, for Utrice Lee to do what Pacifica has said would not be a defiant act, but definitely within her mandate, within her purview, and that is rehire Bernard White and Sharan Harper, who produces the program.
Do you know if he's retracted his terms?
I just know that we're waiting to hear that offer made. And
his terms that he stated last week were that the only way that he would come back was if Utrice was.
I think all of this is not very clear.
I'm just wondering. I don't know whether he has stated that.
I don't know. Okay. I just know that if the offer was made, if Utrice were to rehire Bernard White and Sharan Harper, which she certainly can do, it would be a tremendous way to get back on track and to usher in the new millennium. And I really hope that happens. Now, I have to go because it's 8:15. Earl
Thank
and I
you.
Have to get ready for Democracy Now, though he stays here now. So I want to thank everyone for being there. I hope to be with you tomorrow on Wake Up Call and then on Democracy Now. And coming up on Democracy Now, the first half of the show, we're going to look at the new cabinet. George W. Bush.